This is The Dean's Desk with Kurt Mueller, Dean of the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design.
Hello, everyone. My guest today is Tristan Barracks. He's a director, he's a filmmaker, he's a writer, he's a producer, he's a teacher. He's really the Renaissance man of Seneca, and he's got a lot of experience in a genre that I'm quite passionate about, which is film and storytelling, particularly for marginalized communities and communities that typically at times have had their stories not being told in mainstream media. Tristan, welcome.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate being a part of this show and having this time to like have a conversation, because I mean, I think we chatted maybe a few months ago and there was a connection there, and I think, you know, it'd be great to just kind of dive into stories. I am a storyteller by heart. I think a part of that is just like my nature, but then a part of that is like my background being Jamaican. You know, every Jamaican that you know tells a story, even if it's just like saving 10 cents off of a mango down the street. It's, you know, it's always storytelling for them. So I think I take a lot of that from my culture.
Well, I was looking at your bio and you say your mission is to bring authentic, meaningful Black stories to life in a way that resonates, represents, and inspires. Whether as a director, writer, or educator, you want to set a new standard in film, one story at a time.
Yeah.
Can you unpack that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up, I think, in the greatest era ever. I was an 80s baby, 83. So I grew up with The Goonies, E.T., Fresh Prince. So many of these, like, really forming and shaping storytelling devices, right? You know, I mean, Spielberg and Ridley Scott and Tarantino and all these people really influenced sort of the way I was able to experience the transformative nature of telling stories and movie making and television. And so the missing piece, I think, for me was just like really seeing myself up there. And oftentimes that gets misconstrued with sort of like this conceit or this arrogance, like, oh, everybody has to see a reflection of themselves. But it's not necessarily that. It's really just saying, like, there's a uniqueness about the Black Canadian experience because it's a confluence of so many different intersections of the Black experience, right? Whether you have individuals from the continent of Africa, right? Whether you have Haitian and you know, and that Creole and that French mixture, right? You have the West Indians, right? And then you have the Blacks that were here before Confederation, right? In Nova Scotia and Halifax and even in Vancouver and Southern Ontario. And so for me, my mission is really about not necessarily just telling Black stories, but being able to elevate those stories so that they're not one-dimensional. Oftentimes we see the Black experience to be something that is one of great struggle, great distress. It's oftentimes a period piece. It's always looking back and not necessarily looking forward, or not allowing us to just be. Right? That's something that I really am very focused on, is telling stories of just regular folk. You know, yeah, we happen to be of the Black persuasion, but we are fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, cousins, just like anyone else. We're aspirational, we're dreamers, and we want to lean into life as well. And so just being able to show that the multifaceted nature of my culture and the culture of many is really the goal.
What is it about the medium of film that made you choose that as a vehicle to tell these stories?
Film for me has always been an opportunity for me to escape. And it's not escapism from the standpoint of like I'm running from something as much as it is the most reflective form that sort of reflected to me or connected to me in terms of how I saw the world and in terms of how I experienced the world. And what I mean by that is when I was young and a child, and even now, I had a very active imagination that I could see things and create them and create these worlds and kind of live in these worlds. And for me, film and television is that. That's exactly that. It's people taking what's in their imagination and creating those worlds and inviting us into those worlds. And so for me, just from a purely personal level, that's why I love filmmaking. But I also think that filmmaking is a medium, and storytelling in general is the vehicle that we use to communicate our greatest gift. What is our greatest gift? It's our perspectives. And our perspectives are the unique experiences and the way that we see the world. And the more that we are comfortable as individuals to share our perspectives and use vehicles like storytelling to share our perspectives, I think the greater our own perspectives become, but also others become in terms of seeing the world in a different way. You and I could see something in the same place, but because we're standing in a different position, you're seeing it from one perspective, I'm seeing it from another. Once we share those perspectives, now we get a fuller understanding of what that thing is, whether it's apple orange, it's a topic, a political topic. And I think sometimes trying to just communicate that isn't always the best way. But if you can visualize it and you can use parables, right, or you can use stories, they can become the vehicles to kind of allow the medicine to go down a little bit easier.
It's, I find it so easy to lose myself in a film, just immerse myself. I'm one of those people that forgets where I am when I'm watching a really good film.
The last time that happened to me was actually last summer. I took my two kids to go see Twisters. And, you know, I mean, I'm a disaster movie kind of buff. So, like, I love Volcano. I love, like, all these terrible, like, B-movie disaster movies. But they're great. They're just great. They are what they are. They know what they are. But I remember sitting down in a theater and thinking to myself, I remember when Twisters came out and how that made me feel. And I looked to my kids left and right of me and I said, I get to watch a film with my kids and we get to be in this world. And I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. If I can keep this feeling of just like you get to create a world where people get to be in this world together and you get the chills and you duck even though there's nothing coming towards your face, but it feels like it. That feeling was so exhilarating, but also there was this tangible feeling of like, this is what it means to be in community. Even if we don't have the same language, you don't have the same experiences, we're building a campfire and everybody's together.
So speaking of everybody being together around a campfire, imagine that's a little bit like what your classes are like at Seneca. Yeah. I just saw you teaching. You were teaching in our interactive media program.
Yeah.
How has your experience as an independent filmmaker informed your approach in the classroom? And what has that experience been like for you?
It's interesting because I always wanted to be a professor. At a certain point, but I didn't know my pathway to be that, right? And I always felt like it was, you know, you had to be a certain level of academic savant to be a professor. And so getting the opportunity to teach in I&M as well as in creative advertising as well has really opened up my eyes to see that the experiences and the knowledge that I've gained through the last 20, 25 years of being in industry has really helped me to find other ways to reach students that are like me. And the students that are more academically inclined, we can still do, you know, the normal sort of traditional style. But I think being that student that was more of an experiential learner, was more of an alternative thinker, allows me to now bring those sort of skills into the classroom. So I'm very much about both having the academic rigor, but then also packaging it through visual and audible means. So a lot of the examples I use is from my own personal work. I think that it's super important, especially being in a college or polytechnical institute like Seneca, it's important to bring your actual experiences and be like, this is what people are actually looking for. This is the actual experiences that I've encountered dealing with creative directors or other filmmakers or, you know, financing certain things. And so I think my students really appreciate that because I don't sugarcoat it and I try to create the most realistic assignments possible as well. So, you know, sometimes they'll look at me and they're like, sir, why do we need to learn this? It's like, well, you're not actually learning this one thing. But if you take yourself out of just looking at, okay, I don't like video because some of the students don't like video and that's okay. I said, but what are the skills that you're learning? You're learning time management. You're learning communication skills. You're learning conflict resolution because there's going to be students that you don't want to work with that aren't doing their load or share of the work. And so there's so many areas of opportunity to learn and grow that's outside of just the, you know, checking the boxes and the A's, the B's, the C's that I want to give to the students because I think that that was one of the things I really didn't understand when I was a student at Seneca was, although, yes, the grades are important, but understanding what the grades represent in a more wholer total sense of the world. It's not just the academia, but it's also about the transferable skills that make you valuable out in the workplace.
Couldn't agree more. So the point you just made about some of the assignments, the learning being multifaceted, and those skills, even if maybe you don't like the central maybe core of the assignment, if it's a video-based assignment, you will be learning other things that you can bring into the workforce that really we're hearing from our industry partners are probably the most valuable skill sets that our graduates have. And that's all about our human skills, which Seneca, I think, has been a real leader in terms of embedding those skills into the curriculum. But I imagine you need all of those skills all the time. You just talked about financing. As an independent filmmaker, I'm sure that's a challenge. How do you go about balancing the financial piece and the creative creative piece and also working as part of a team and being a director leading a team. Yeah. How do you balance all of those different things?
I would love to say that there is balance. I've come to the place where it really is all extremes. I heard once from an author, he said, you can be a bad dad, just don't make it be 2 days in a row. And the idea behind that is that, especially when you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to make things work, and you are sort of like, if you don't work, you don't eat type of thing, feast or famine, you really have to understand that balance is really, it really doesn't exist. It's more extremes. And what I mean by that, today, I may be an amazing professor and teacher, and like terrible husband because I'm not around, right? I'm marking, I'm staying late, talking to my students, doing all that sort of stuff. You know, tomorrow I may be the most amazing script writer and going on meetings and dealing with financing and things of that nature. But then I may be behind on my marking at Seneca, right? And so understanding and giving yourself the grace to be like, hey, what do I need to focus on today? And how can I now replicate that and create systems and create a team? That's something that I've really tried to lean into, especially in the last couple of years in my career, is building out a strong team. A strong team doesn't mean a perfect team, and it doesn't mean that it's a team that already knows and has all the skills. A strong team means that you have people who are willing to stand in the gap and to learn the systems and to support you where you are weak or where you just can't take on that responsibility anymore. And you have to learn how to trust your team and be able to divvy off some of those responsibilities.
I want to talk to you a little bit about your influences. You mentioned earlier, or I mentioned earlier, that you feel your mission is to bring authentic, meaningful Black stories to life. Mm. Are there directors, filmmakers that you think have done a really good job in that area?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the one that kind of stands out, you know, right off the top of my head is Spike Lee. I got the opportunity to meet him actually randomly in the elevator in Toronto during the TIFF a few years ago. And he was shorter than I thought.
He looks pretty short.
Yeah, he's a really short guy, but he's very charismatic. And he's like, he walks into the elevator and it just so happened to be all people of color. He's like, oh, this is the Black elevator. I was like, well, Spike, I don't know about that, but this is what it is, right? But it was great. I think he's sort of the great example. For me, though, my sort of go-to and goats are Ava DuVernay, who I had the opportunity to meet last year at Essence Fest, and Barry Jenkins. Those two individuals, I think, show you and show me how you can tell stories that are meaningful and that are specific to coming out of a community, but that can be universally transferred and understood and experienced. And to the point where I actually am very intentional. So I actually made a new phone. I have like all of these different pictures of people who inspire me, whether it's Tyler Perry, Oprah Winfrey, Damon Wayans. I think it's important to recognize who your influences are and then being very intentional about, like, you know, what are the things that you're pulling from them, right? A really good mentor of mine said to me a long time ago, you don't have to have one mentor. Because that one mentor might be really good at finance and be on 8 divorces, right? And maybe they're not great with relationships, and that's okay, right? They're great finances. So it's kind of this sort of idea that my mom would say to me all the time. She said, like, hey, listen, in life, Tristan, learn how to eat the meat and spit out the bone. And so what I do is I look at like Spike and I say, hey, Spike was a great innovator. You know, I didn't even know this until just recently when he graduated from, I think it was NYU or somewhere else. He actually got the top award for the Oscars as a student. And the student filmmaker, his thesis film won an Oscar, a student Oscar. And so that was like in 1984, 85, right? So the trajectory for him was already greatness because he had a focus and he had a singular sort of goal in terms of telling certain stories. And so I take that from him, from Tyler Perry, not necessarily the creative, but the business side of things, finding your audience, understanding what they like, you know, being able to produce that for them, connecting with them, right? Mm. With Ava, it's that level of bringing her documentary style and then also her written and her humanity into her projects, right? For Barry Jenkins, it's that level of ethereal storytelling and really making everything human-centric and very textured, right? So there's things that I take from everybody, and then that becomes who I am, right? For Will Smith is just pure charisma. Who doesn't want to be around Will Smith? And so I say to those who are listening, like, you don't have to love everything about everybody, but if you can find those threads that you can then bring and adapt into your life to find sort of your voice and where you fit and how you want to represent yourself in this world, do that.
You know, you're listing some of the directors, and I'm thinking of Jordan Peele, who's become a real favorite
yes.
of mine.
Yes, no, he's incredible, and I actually had him on my old mood board. I literally just changed it 2 days ago. And the thing I love about Jordan is he's just weird. He's a weird guy. And I actually really love the work he did specifically with the Key and Peele show. I think, you know, the writing, the performances, the fact that that was unabashed comedy, you know, and I think there's something to be said about being able to laugh at ourselves that allows us to just be human again and just be like in a moment. That's the one thing that I find is challenging as a filmmaker and as a creative is like you want to just create the most authentic work and the most authentic art, but we live in a world where everybody is ready to be offended. And that's a challenge because now you have to, instead of just putting the work out and allowing the work to find its audience, and now you have to be a defender of the work. And that's the unfortunate part. And I do understand that there are challenges that are out there and conversations that we need to kind of squash in certain areas. But I think that there needs to be a space, especially in educational institutes and in spaces where we're in sort of the public court, we need to be able to have discord and be able to see things in different ways and not necessarily agree.
Goes back to your one of your earlier points about having access to different perspectives.
Yes.
And I would imagine one of the things that's so valuable about having you as one of our profs is the perspective you bring to the classroom and the fact that our student body is so diverse. Mm-hmm. It's really important that we have different perspectives at the front of the classroom. Have you seen students appreciate the perspective that you bring in ways that you think to yourself, you know, I'm not sure the student would have succeeded if if I didn't have that for them?
Yeah, I think as a professor and as a teacher, you want to feel like you have some sort of impact. I was just thinking about this earlier today because sometimes you get so internal in your mind about life and other things that you got to worry about that sometimes you miss the simple opportunities of impact that you can make for your students. And one of my students actually today in one of my classes was just saying that they weren't feeling well. And I was like, okay, cool. And we had a little lab activity. And so the class was empty. And then that student came back in and they were like, you know, can I share something with you? And they shared a little personal pressures of just being in school and trying to be great for your parents and your family. And, you know, we have a lot of international students. And so they come from different cultures where academia is very important, right? And so they feel that pressure. And I said, hey, listen, you're good. You're human. I told them to look at me in the eye. I said, hey, listen, I feel pressure sometimes too. And sometimes I got to stop. And sometimes I got to pay attention to my body, pay attention to how I feel emotionally. And that's okay. That just means you're human. And they looked at me and, you know, they got a little misty eyed and they're like, you know, thank you. And I'm thinking half of my students are online. Some of them come in class. Am I doing anything right? And that moment really speaks to the humanity and the reason why it's important to have opportunities like this as a professor, but then also spaces to be able to have students in class to connect with each other because there's power in community, right? And oftentimes, I think we live in such a digital world and digital age where it's like we're so connected that we're actually disconnected. It's weird. It's like, you know, we're following everybody, but nobody actually is really feeling connected. And that's a moment where I felt like, okay, yeah, it wasn't an X's and O's conversation, but it was about life. And it was about remembering that we're all people. And those are the moments for me as a professor that really stand out in my career.
Those moments are why I miss being a prof, being in the classroom. They're extremely gratifying. It makes you really be thankful that you get to do this as part of your career. So speaking of your career, I know you're not here to promote anything, but let's talk about your latest film. I think it's called Sugar Dumpling.
Yes. Sugar Dumpling is a film that stars comedy legend Oliver Samuels, Jamaican comedy legend, West Indian comedy legend Oliver Samuels, and Chantal Riley, who is a good friend of mine and a tremendous actress. It's a short film I wrote and directed, my wife produced, and it follows the journey of a young lady who's trying to reconnect with her father, a strange father, who's dealing with dementia. And it was a story that I wanted to write simply because, you know, my wife and I wanted to have a calling card. We wanted to show that we could create and produce something. And the story really tries to answer the question of how do you love somebody you don't like? We all have family members, right? We all have people that we know that are in our sphere that if they weren't related to us, we probably wouldn't be around them. But the reality is they're family. And because they're family, we have the ability and responsibility to stay in contact with them. Obviously, outside of negative situations, right? And so this story really follows this really rocky relationship between a daughter and her father. And the way that they reconnect is through his Jamaican food and recipes. And so, you know, there's this confluence of food and culture and history and legacy. And also this sense of urgency because with dementia and with Alzheimer's, as you know, it's a disease that robs you of your memory. And the longer that you live, the less you remember. And so there's this sense of urgency and this challenge of like, if you only had this one opportunity to say what you want to say and to mend a relationship with a family member or somebody that was close to you, what would you say to them if this was the last time you could say it or the last time they would remember who you are? It really is a project that's near and dear to our heart. We're finding that there are so many communities and so many people that are relating to it, because looking at the stats, there's about 750,000 people dealing with dementia and dementia-related issues in Canada alone. We know that from a societal standpoint, we are becoming much older and living much longer as a society. We're not replacing ourselves, which means for every one person that is getting to age 80, there's less than one person that's being replaced for them. And so there's less social security and less social systems that are in place right now because people aren't thinking about that. But 50 years from now, we are all going to be older and we are going to need more nurses and more social workers to help us because we are living longer. And so all of these sort of influences and real life stories are kind of connecting to this story. And we're working with the Ministry of Health, the Alzheimer's Society of Peel and of Ontario has come on board and wants to partner with us. We actually just did our premiere in Kingston, Jamaica a few weeks ago, which is amazing. And we had the Ministry of Health on board for that, as well as the Ministry of Culture. And so this is a film that is kind of taking on a life of its own. And it's really going back to the idea of a campfire. You know, campfire brings illumination, which is another way of understanding and insight, but also campfire brings warmth, right? And there's a level of warmth and community. It brings people together to sit down and to share their perspectives. And so this film is really something that we feel has been given to us and we're just stewarding it.
Congratulations on the success film. If people are looking for it, where can they find it?
Yeah, you can look up Sugar Dumpling Film. So sugardumplingwithoutag.com. You can go on the website and you can join our mailing list. That's probably the best way to stay up to date with us. We try not to spam you too much. We give like one or two emails per month. It's not a lot. And that way you can stay connected with us. We'll let you know when we have our screening for Toronto, which is coming up very soon. Within the next few months, we're going to do it. Also, our UK screenings, and we're looking to do some screenings out east and out west as well. So we're really excited about it because, again, it's a film that now, even in the healthcare sector and in the science sector, they're looking at using this film as a tool to be able to educate people and start conversations around Alzheimer's.
Tristan, anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I would just like to say thank you for allowing me to be on this platform. I think that, you know, Seneca is a very special organization and institute to me. A lot of people don't know this. In 2001, when I graduated out of high school, I applied, not to Seneca, but I applied to some other colleges and institutions and I got into none of them. And so I had to really take a look in the mirror and figure out what I wanted to do with my life and took a year off of school. It was the worst year of my life because I was just like, everybody else was in post-secondary school and I was in school. But in that moment, I was able to find my true self and find out how I could make a life through the arts. And at a certain point, a few years later, a friend of mine told me about Seneca and told me about the digital media arts program. And I applied and I got in, and Seneca was the first institute that invited me into their doors, and it radically changed my life and changed the trajectory of my life. So for me, I'm just really appreciative of everything that Seneca has afforded me. And it was really the start of the person you see today is me walking through the doors of Seneca. And that's a true story.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you got in and we're glad you came back.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. Congrats on all your success. That's Tristan Barracks, writer, director, filmmaker, professor, and his latest film is called Sugar Dumpling Without a G.
Absolutely.
You have been listening to The Dean's Desk with Kurt Mueller, Dean of the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design, produced by Seneca's Radio Broadcasting students.